for an entire generation, people have experienced Star Wars the only way it's been possible, on the TV screen. But if you've only seen it this way, you haven't seen it at all.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
We've been waiting for you.
Welcome to Coffee with Kenobi. Here are your hosts, Dan Z and Corey Club.
Hello, this is Dan Z, and welcome to show number 7 of Coffee with Kenobi, a brand new Star Wars podcast that analyzes our favorite saga in a whole new way. With me is my good friend and co-host, Corey Club.
Hello, everybody. Since we released show number 6, we received news on the new animated series, Star Wars Rebels, and premiered 2 episodes of our brand new show, Rebels Reactions. We discussed the 15-second trailer on show number 1 and featured the New York Comic-Con reveal of the Inquisitor, as well as a timeline and other exciting information courtesy of Trisha Barr, who was present at the Pablo Hidalgo-led panel. Thanks again to Trisha for being on both those shows and for sharing with us her notes. If you haven't heard either of these shows yet, feel free to download them through our website or iTunes. We also have our first book review where we discuss John Jackson Miller's Kenobi with Trisha Barr and Amy Radcliffe. We took an in-depth, spoiler-filled look at the excellent novel, so be sure to read the book and then listen to our show. Thanks again to Amy and Trisha for sharing their knowledge and insights.
In today's show, we will discuss new Clone Wars episodes, script information for Episode 7, Darth Vader-themed TV specials, and news on new and current Star Wars books. Every day, there is more and more news, as well as speculation and theory, and we want to give you the official news as we receive it. At Coffee with Kenobi, we want to be sure and lead you to the facts.
We also introduce our topic for show number 8, as well as discuss our topic for today, the role and rights of fandom and Star Wars franchise. Do filmmakers, any of you writers,
There's nothing about milk.
Milk. Do film milk... film milkers. That's funny. Film milkers.
That's fine.
Okay. Do filmmakers, any of you writers, listen to fans? How powerful is the Star Wars fan community, and what are some of the pros and cons of this? And now, let's see what's bringing the Star Wars universe this week.
Oh, wait. This is interesting.
You found something.
For our first news story, we have the exciting, excellent news about remaining Clone Wars episodes to air in early 2014. And Dave Filoni just released a very quick little blurb. I'm just going to go ahead and read the whole thing. Star Wars fans, I have some exciting news. We have wrapped production on all the remaining Star Wars The Clone Wars episodes. Now, while that might be sad news in one way, it's good news in another. It means you will finally get to see them. When exactly is a detail I cannot yet share. I can confirm that in early 2014, you'll be watching the final episodes of The Clone Wars, including one of Master Yoda's most challenging missions. So get ready. We've got Clone Wars and Rebels coming at you in 2014. Animated Star Wars is alive and well. Trust in the Force, my friends.
And definitely, Dan, this is bittersweet in a way. I'm really glad that The Clone Wars is kind of wrapping up here. We get to see the rest of the episodes they got produced. The whole crew obviously are putting all their heart and soul into these last episodes. I'd love to see things wrap up and roll right into Rebels.
I think it's so awesome. I'm really excited about it because we're going to get to see these things we've been wanting for a long time. The Clone Wars is great. If you still are one of those Star Wars fans who's listening to our show but hasn't watched The Clone Wars, you need to get around to that. And this is a good time for me to give a shout out to my good friend Brian McKinney, who I saw over the weekend. And Brian, how you doing, man? And he had told me that he hasn't seen The Clone Wars for the last 2 seasons, and I'm telling you, it's great. We don't know yet what the format for this is going to be, but we do know we get to see them and they're finished, and Filoni's been working on them. So this is tremendous news. I'm really, really excited about it. I know it came out a few weeks ago, but this is the first time that Corey and I have gotten a chance to talk about it.
It's good that they're doing this to keep this kind of wrapped up, this era, if you will. I think it's nice to be able to finally see the ending so that we can feel like the fans got what they wanted. Dave Filoni and his crew got all what they wanted, because I know they had a lot of put into it, and it was kind of maybe cut short a little early, and they weren't expecting that right away, and I'm really glad Lucasfilm is doing all this. Our next news story has to do with the Episode 7 script duties. It looks like Lawrence Kasdan and J.J. Abrams are taking over script duties for Episode 7. This is pretty exciting. Sad to see Michael Arndt go, but I think it'll move in the right direction. Maybe a little bit of a stumble for the production so far, but I think they're back on their feet and running with it. Lawrence Kasdan has a great history. He wrote some monumental blockbusters we all know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, and some new scripts, Super 8, Mission Impossible 3, Fringe, Lost. I mean, obviously he's worked with J.J. Abrams before. He knows how he works. He knows how he kind of visualizes things. I think it's great news.
A lot of people are concerned about this because Michael Arndt is an Oscar winner and he's been working on this for a long time. So people are starting to panic and hold up the panic flags. But if you've been reading the making of Return of the Jedi or paid attention to the making of any of the classic trilogy films, this is sort of how it works. Lucas had an idea. He wrote his sequel trilogy Bible. He gave it to Michael Arndt, who did his 50-page outline and created all of that. And now it's moved on to the second phase, and Kasdan and Abrams are taking over. I haven't seen anything that indicates any sort of ill will or that Arndt was fired. There are all kinds of rumors about that, and of course you know how we feel about rumors here on Coffee with Kenobi. So this is yet another example of hurry up and wait, because we have this information and we found out about all the people on the production team, and there's a lot of great people working on this. Ben Burtt is back. Everybody's a lot of people are back from the Star Wars family. So again, we still got good storytellers in place, and have every reason to think that George Lucas's vision will still be intact. But we're going to have a strong script, and hopefully this is an indicator that they're really focusing on the characters and evolving the story into something that we're going to be so proud of and excited to call Episode 7 in Star Wars films.
Like you said, Dan, Michael Arndt has got some prestige behind him with the awards and whatnot, but I think also Kasdan and J.J. Abrams, especially working with the script themselves, they got a lot of Star Wars knowledge, Star Wars history, if you will. I think Kasdan's a great person to start writing this and getting on it. And it's not like, you know, Michael Arndt didn't do anything. He actually, you know, was able to touch it and be able to give his little spin on it. So I'm sure they'll still use parts of things that he came up with or maybe explored. So I'm really excited to see what happens.
Our next story is very intriguing and surprising. It comes from the European brand licensing show that Jedi News UK found out about, and they were kind enough to send us a heads up on this. But there are all kinds of things that the licensing people are planning, and they release this stuff so that people will go on and you know, make some bids and make some money. So we know we're getting Star Wars Lego games for the mobile devices. Something about a Star Wars digital library launching in autumn, winter of 2014. We don't have any information on that. More confirmation about Episode 7 to be released in the spring or summer of 2015. But the most interesting thing is that apparently they have in the works Darth Vader-themed TV specials.
Now, my hope is that they're not like the Ewok cartoon series. I don't think it's along that line, but no.
Is it going to be?
Well, I'm trying to get you to laugh.
No, I mean, I was thinking that it could be Lego stuff. It could be animated stuff that ties into Rebels. So we don't know what it's going to be. And people are already concerned that there could be an oversaturation of Vader. But Darth Vader, Mickey Mouse, Superman, these are characters that are timeless and known all over the world. So I don't think we're going to have an oversaturation of Vader per se. Darth Vader is, he's their cleanup hitter. So if he's going to be used, I assume it's going to be for a really good reason. So this is, again, something where all we can do is speculate. All we know is something Darth Vader themed is coming out. And what does themed even mean anyway?
Right. It could be Dancing with the Stars of Darth Vader. So I don't know.
Well, that would be surprising.
I'm sure he's got the robot down.
Right.
But then again, I mean, is it going to be live action? Is it going to be animated? We don't know. But it's exciting to hear all this stuff coming out. And like, again, we don't get a whole lot of news that's confirmed. And basically, yeah, this stuff really isn't confirmed. But, you know, this is hitting pretty hard as far as, you know, here's what to expect. So that's exciting to hear all that, too.
Han Solo, Rebel Soldier, Lando Calrissian, and Bespin Guard each sold separately from Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back Collection, new from Kenner.
Looking? Found someone you have, I would say,
Your lightsabers will make a fine addition to my collection.
Our first collector news is about the Death Star Owner's Manual book, which Dan and I both received in the mail, and we were pretty excited. We didn't know this was coming, and we've got advantage to take a closer look at it and get our hands on it. And I think it is totally colorful. It has got every little aspect of the Death Star that you want to see, it's all in there. And it reaches all the way back to the prequels.
It's very cool. It's coming out in early November. And they did another book like this with the Millennium Falcon. They take painstaking detail to outline the Death Star and the design of it. And they had some nice description and literature about explaining how certain things work and some beautiful images. And it's a really, really fun book that we hope to talk a little bit more about in a future show. It's pretty cool. It's if you're interested at all in how things work and the design. And of course, we know, I hate to ruin this for him, but there is no such thing as a Death Star. And even they submitted one to Congress. It was too expensive. But just the way it's broken down, it's to me, it's worth it for the illustrations alone. I mean, they're beautiful pictures.
Oh, it's everything looks great, and it's high quality stuff. And even my kids grabbed it and was taking a look at it, and they loved it. And were like, you know, glossed over the pages and whatnot. And it was wonderful. So I think it's truly a great book.
The other collector thing we want to talk about is The Star Wars, the newer comic book series by J.W. Rinzler, which looks and examines George Lucas's original New Hope draft, the one that we didn't see in theaters. I actually have issues 1 and 2, but I haven't gotten a chance to dive into them yet. But I know Corey has, and he's been excited to share his thoughts with us. So, Corey, tell us about The Star Wars.
Oh, it's something different. And right off the bat, I didn't really know how to take it, because I was like, okay, this is going to be some cheesy thing they're trying to market, you know, and make money off of. And I didn't really know the story, actually, the original story. I never read the script. I know it's out there. I can get your hands on it and read it. But kind of cracked open the first issue and kind of started reading the characters and stuff. And it just started off with a bang. There was still, you know, first lightsaber battle with some of the Jedi and the Sith Lord. And the characters introduced are really kind of cool and like, I don't know, the whole feeling of it says Star Wars, but in a different way. And it's interesting to see characters we already know in kind of one universe, kind of, you know, an alternate universe in a sense. It's interesting the way that you're wanting one thing, but you're not getting it in a sense. You want it to be Star Wars, but it's not, you know, Star Wars as we know it now, if you know what I mean. But I think... Well, go ahead.
I would say all these things that are coming out about Return of the Jedi, there were going to be two Death Stars, and this Force ghost of Obi-Wan and Yoda were going to fight Darth Vader at the end of the film, and thank goodness that didn't happen. I mean, who knows, maybe we would have loved that too, but there are just all these different ways how these stories have evolved, which leads back to our new story before about Michael Arndt not being one of the writers for Episode 7, as we know is going to be. So it's interesting to look at things through a different lens in a way that you know as your Star Wars. It's just a different take. And if I understand correctly, issue number 2 really got really dark.
Yeah, and I've read it once, but I didn't, you know, read, you know, examine it with a critical eye like we like to do here on Coffee with Kenobi. The idea I got from it was a little darker. There's some weird things that happened into it. I don't want to give it away for you, Dan, because I'm not even dug into it yet. But obviously, we get to meet some more characters and kind of see how they interact. But definitely a totally different look. And I will say I'm enjoying it. I like it. It's got me excited for the next issue. It's got me excited to see what George's kind of intended things to be. And let me just say, the art is gorgeous. It looks great. I think they did an excellent job. And it's just a great story so far.
Luke, you're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
I must be allowed to speak.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Our show topic for show number 7. What are the rights as far as evaluating the Star Wars franchise? Do filmmakers and EU writers listen to fans? How powerful is the Star Wars fan community, and what are some of the pros and cons of this?
And this is a topic that Corey came up with that a lot of people really responded to, and it's just basically all these things going on in the Star Wars universe. And I'm always intrigued with how fans interact with another, whether it be Twitter or Facebook or the old message boards and all those kind of things. So how powerful are we as a fan base? Star Wars fans are very, very unique. They have a very, very unique fan base compared to other fandoms out there. Wouldn't you agree?
I absolutely agree. And it's been going on for a number of years as far as, you know, since the franchise came out, I mean, it was exploded. So, and over the years, they really haven't let up. The saga itself is in pop culture everywhere. And
right.
the fans and the fan community is worldwide. So I think it's something that's very large. if not one of the largest fandoms out there, and people are constantly flocking to it. There's constantly new fans out there wanting to join in all the fun.
Let's just jump right into our old friend Becca Benjamin's email. And as she says, with the birth of the internet, our voices were heard much louder and definitely more diverse than ever before. What really opened my eyes to that evidence was the original Star Wars blogs. Unfortunately, those said message boards have been deleted, or in Star Wars terms, memory wiped. I firmly believe those blogs are remembered fondly by a multitude of fans. Not only were we able to question and discuss all things Star Wars, but friendships were forged. These weren't just nonchalant acquaintances or meetings by chance. This was the power of something much greater, the force of the Star Wars fandom. Unlimited power indeed. For these friendships bound on by the Star Wars fandom united something far greater than that galaxy far, far away. Okay, I may be exaggerating a bit, so it was so surreal. People, or bloggers as we were known, started driving across state to meet with one another in person. This made for even more interesting blogs with pictures or home videos, capturing and sharing those fantastic memories. These said meetings then turned into something more wonderful, a blogger's meet and greet. This happened at Star Wars Celebration 4 back in 2007, organized by a fellow blogger and now a great friend, Deej, known as Tommy. And Tommy is, of course, a great fan of the show and friend of ours from Geeks Helping Geeks. And then Becca goes on to say a little bit more. Our roles in the Star Wars fandom must be respectful, and Star Wars fans have to be mindful of what the Maker has given us. George created a world, a galaxy rather, that has dazzled and amazed fans all over the world for years and continues to do so for generations to come. Something so timeless, debates and discussion go on to this very day. Some fans have decided to cast stones or pass judgment on his choice to refurbish his movies over the decades. This is something I will never do. How could I rightfully do so? For I, not any other fan out there, own this universe that was generously bestowed upon us by Mr. Lucas. He gave us a gift. How grateful would it be to verbally bash something someone gave us to enjoy? Well, and as a side note, I hope that Becca didn't hear our last show, because we really kind of went all over the place with that. But she does jump in here and say, always in motion the future is. Yes, absolutely. George gave us the Star Wars universe without asking anything in return, much like Anakin in The Phantom Menace. He just wanted to share his dream, his thoughts, and he hoped for that chance to be heard. The rights and roles of fandoms in the Star Wars universe, what a tremendous gift that is. I'm so thankful to be a part of it, a small part, but a part indeed. It is our job to keep it going, passing it on from generation to generation. Timeless, that is true. For it has been said before, Star Wars could have been a space tale told many years ago, or it could be a story that has yet to come forth in the faraway universe. Or maybe it's happening right now, somewhere on a distant planet. A young boy is discovering a family legacy in a galaxy far, far away. Star Wars. Well, thank you, Becca, for your insights into that. And she opens up a lot of interesting ideas about fandom and sort of how we as fans, that sort of sense of entitlement that we have.
Like she said, we've been given a great gift as far as the franchise and the saga and everything that goes along with it.
How have you experienced Star Wars fandom? What does it mean to you? What kind of power do you see in Star Wars fandom?
Definitely it's a ginormous power. As far as my experience with it, it's always been a good thing. It's always been, like you said, you can jump online and interact with fans. You can interact with people who obviously love something that you love, and you can be yourself. You can do what you do and express it your own way and find folks out there that, you know, enjoy that as well as you do. That has a power to it in itself. It makes bonds, makes friendships. I know folks have obviously met and gotten married, and it's a strange thing because it's so powerful like that. And I don't think anybody could ever describe that feeling that possibly two fans that have that connection. It's almost like kindred spirits, if you will. I mean, not to get mushy, but I mean, honestly, it truly is. I mean, I can sit down with you and talk Star Wars all day, and you know exactly where I'm coming from. You know all the characters, you know the feelings, the emotions that bring on as far as the films, as far as the fandom, as far as, you know, like we just talked about the comic books that we collect, the action figures that come out, the EU books, anything that comes up. Obviously, this podcast is a great outlet for it, too. And look how much has come out of it thus far. But yeah, to me personally, it's been a blessing, I think, as far as being expressive on the internet, on you know, some of our inside groups, Geeks Helping Geeks, just anywhere all over the internet, Twitter, Facebook, anywhere. and you can come and be yourself, and nobody's going to judge you, and everybody's been kind of, you know, you get to go to these people in conventions and stuff, and you're all there for the same reason, to have a good time, enjoy the saga, and just make memories.
Well, and you hit it on the head with the idea of how people come together, and there's a wonderful fan base that's very strong. Becca mentioned her email about the Star Wars blogs and the Star Wars message boards. A lot of my friends from Geeks Helping Geeks, I originally met through the Star Wars message boards, and that was a great way for me to get excited about Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. And you start meeting these people, and then a bunch of us from Geeks Helping Geeks all went over to Chicago to the Field Museum and saw the Sports Science Meets Imagination exhibit, and I got to meet Lisa and Melinda and Bethany and Neil and all these great people that are huge Star Wars fans. So you find this common ground. You and I were always, we got along great. We loved chatting, but we didn't get to chat very much. And then Star Wars brought us to be really close as family and friends and to create this show. I mean, my goodness, how many podcasts are there for Star Wars?
There's tons.
And blogs, yeah. and the celebrations are so popular, and it creates such a neat, powerful community that I think is very, very unique to Star Wars and fandom.
Well, also, that being said, we all love our Star Wars community and our Star Wars friends and fans, but does that give us the right to be able to, you know, kind of downplay what George decides to do with the franchise or a story arc or a book series or something that comes out that possibly we don't like, and do we have the right to say, you know, hey, let's not do that, or let's not kill that character? What do you think, Dan? What do you think we have as fans? Do we have a right to say that?
I think, you know, with this piggybacks on what we talked about with the special edition, and I actually was just fortunate enough to be on the Star Wars episode of Assembly of Geeks, which will be coming out very soon. And actually, by the time of this recording, it may have already come out. So check for that. But Star Wars fans have this sense of ownership and entitlement, and that can get a little gray and a little bit murky. It's George Lucas's thing. Now it's J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy's thing, and Lawrence Kasdan and Michael Arndt. And we tend to get very passionate and boisterous, and sometimes we borderline on the pejorative when we start to get into these areas where we're able to judge people. And it's always sometimes this knee-jerk reaction that people tend to gravitate towards, whereas there's announcement of any kind of news, it's bad, or something bad is happening on, or things are being ruined. And that's not the case, especially for something that hasn't even filmed for 1 second. There's just so many unknowns and so many variables. So our fandom is very unique because we're passionate and strong and united, but also very, can be very divisive and cutting in how we look at things, and instead of just sort of taking it in and enjoying what is out there for us to be a part of.
I'm going to throw in there too, we're also impatient. I mean, look at the Clone Wars. They cut that kind of mid-season in a sense, and now we're just getting news that they're going to finish it out, the final season. And if we would just wait around and just, you know, pull our thumbs or read an e-book, just hang in there, I think that we'll get it eventually. And obviously, we're getting Star Wars movies 7, 8, and 9. It's taken off. It's huge. We're getting spinoff movies now. It's almost like it's a rebirthing of the franchise. And it's constantly done that each era. You know, my kids are going to grow up with it now, too. They're going to have their own little world to grow up into. But I think as fans, like you said, we hear one or two different things, and something that we don't like, a casting, or it's a writer, or it's a director, or something to do with the franchise we dislike, we jump on it. We beat it down, and we don't give it a chance. And that's not to say we can't give our opinion, because...
Yeah, you got to give your opinion. That's part of the fun.
Yes, absolutely. But I think that's... In fandom, I think that's great to be able to debate things and put it out there and say, well, you know, what if this happened, or what if they hired this person, or this actor did it. And that's wonderful. I think I'm all for that. And free thinking is wonderful as far as the franchise goes. But I think when it comes down to bashing the saga itself, or maybe what Lucas decides to do, I think we can discuss it. We're more than welcome to voice our opinion, but I don't think in the long run, we don't have a choice as far as what happens and what goes on with it.
Well, and I've brought this up on Assembly Geeks too, but typically when it comes to Star Wars and fandom, I use the example of, siblings. Now, you can make fun of your siblings and tease them and drive them crazy, and that's all fine and good, and you get in trouble by your parents and whatever, and you don't understand that. As soon as somebody who's not family makes fun of them, then it's over with, and you get really, really angry and irritated. And I think that's how we are as fans. We feel like we have this, again, this self-evident thing in our minds where we just give our opinions very vocally, which is, again, as you said, is a wonderful thing, and that's why our podcast exists. But it's just about how you do it and how you approach it. I think sometimes we take it a little too seriously. Heck, we have a Star Wars podcast. We obviously take it very seriously and analyze it. But there also comes a point where you have to take a step back and realize, okay, if you really don't enjoy it that much and you're that miserable, then maybe try to find something else that does bring you joy. Because it really is an escape, a good, healthy escape, assuming that you create good priorities and balance in your life.
Absolutely. And, you know, on the show, I know sometimes we kind of downplay things, or we just talked about the special editions not too long ago with Ed Dalsta, and kind of gave our opinions on things. And I think it's, again, like you said, that's okay to do that. But, you know, when we're, you know, getting, we cross that mark, if you will, and get into the area where it's, you know, you fall on the dark side, if you know.
Right.
And it's just like this big hurtful thing, and I think that's bad mojo.
Bad mojo, baby. All right, so let's get into our next email. It's from A. Willing, who's been a great emailer and listener of our show. He says, "Hello, fellas. Got to say that I love the intellectual thoughts on each show. Gets pretty deep sometimes, and that makes it even more interesting. So the topic for show number 7 is the role in Riot as fans. Good pick, Corey. I know each of us as a fan has some sense of personal ownership to George Lucas's saga and all that has been born of it. We also have opinions on both, and they are just that, opinions. What all of that has spawned from the 6-film saga is different to me. A great deal of this is it's not of George Lucas's creation. Although I myself enjoy small parts of these things, they are not of George Lucas, even though he himself may have said that what it was had to be or not be in some part of it. It's certainly George Lucas's freedom to some extent for fans to play in a sandbox. This all has been taken to all manner of directions. Some of it is really cool, and some, not so much. My thoughts on this are very simple and straightforward. In my eyes, our role as fans is to enjoy the story that was shared with us. Enjoy it with him in some other way with one another. Our rights as fans of the story that was shared with us is that we can share our likes and dislikes with one another, including Mr. Lucas, and I am certain he has heard much. There's not really much more to it than that. I'll be 47 this month, October. I'm of the first Star Wars generation when there was no internet. You got to see the films as often as you could afford to go to the theater. No DVD or VCR or cable, satellite, TV, and only the toys to drive your imagination. Long live the original Star Wars." And thank you again, A. Willing. What do you think about that?
He's got some great insights there and great opinions. Like you said, this is all his opinion. And he's saying exactly what we're talking about here. We can play in the sandbox, if you will, George Lucas' sandbox, and enjoy it. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's still Lucas's baby. It's still his franchise and his thing. He lets people play in the sandbox and lets them do what they want to do. And obviously he's letting, you know, all these books be put out in the EU and not really kind of letting it be kind of a free reign type thing. As far as, you know, obviously merchandising as well, and all the stuff you see on the internet, I mean, he doesn't shut any of it down. He doesn't shut our podcast down. I think he enjoys it himself. I think he likes to hear what our opinions are, and maybe it sways his decision on things. I have no idea. But I think any fan who would meet George Lucas face-to-face would, I don't think they would tear it down. I mean, they would obviously praise him for it and give him kudos that it's well-deserved, so...
When he shows up on stage at a celebration, whether you like or don't like or disagree with certain things, you're going to go nuts because it's George Lucas. And he made the great American mythology for us that we all know and love. So, and we have rights, and Dave Filoni has said many times, as fans, voice your opinions because we listen to them and we do try to incorporate them when we can, when it makes sense. So they want to hear our reactions and thoughts. The Lucasfilm employees on Twitter are great about interacting with fans and meeting with everybody. Ashley Eckstein, my goodness, she's such a great ambassador for Star Wars and fandom. All these people who are a part of Star Wars really reach out to us. And so part of it is that we are given so much voice and able to express our opinions, and they actually matter for something. So it's just a matter of learning how to blend the good and the bad, much like Luke has to learn to balance the light and dark side of the Force in his life. and focus on what you enjoy about the saga. Be vocal, be passionate, be loquacious, be wordy. But you can slice, but you don't have to dice. You know, there's, you're not going to like everything. You can prune off the stuff that you're not crazy about. But I don't know. For me, I think it's more healthy, and this is just my opinion, to just try to focus on what you enjoy. Acknowledge what you don't like, but don't make that your Star Wars. Acknowledge that it's there. Deal with it. Express your opinion. But focus on the things that made you fall in love with the saga in the first place.
I couldn't agree more, Dan. I think you just hit it on the head there as far as, you know, do what you like as far as expressing your love for the saga, and let it be known too. I mean, because there's so many different variations out there of it. And like you said, you know, the producers, directors, they all listen to this, to us, and they enjoy it too. I mean, you sit down and do an interview with Dave Filoni or J.J. Abrams even. I mean, they're just kids in a sandbox there, and they're just playing too, and they're enjoying as much as we're. They're fans, it's just like us. Them jumping into it and being able to kind of give their twist on it, give their version of it, and just be able to express themselves that way, it's mind-blowing in a sense too. I think it's something that J.J. Abrams couldn't turn down. It was like it was his dream gig, and I think anybody who's a fan can respect that, and anybody who knows Star Wars to its core, and if they call themselves a Star Wars fan, obviously there's a reason for that, and you should celebrate that.
Our topic for show number 8 is Episode 6, Return of the Jedi, celebrating 30 years plus this year. This isn't a review, but an examination of the more powerful themes at play in this classic film. How does it compare to Episodes 4 and 5? Is it a worthy ending to the prequel trilogy? Why or why not? Why was it a maligned film before the prequels were released? And how about the Ewoks? Plus, we'll also look at J.W. Rinsler's making of Return of the Jedi. It's a conversation not to be missed.
I like the sound of that.
Echo 3 to Echo 7. Hanno, buddy, you read me?
I saw part of the message.
I seem to have found it.
Our first email comes from Kevin Wernart. Apologize, Kevin, if we don't get your name correct. We're not all English professors. But he says, nice show, gentlemen. I do a Notre Dame football podcast called Irish Impact, and I'm overall big supporter of the podcast community. I'm also a huge Indiana Jones, Star Wars, Star Trek fan. If you're ever looking for someone to interview or guest on the program, I'll be willing to help via phone, Google Chat, or Skype. Keep doing what you're doing. Well, thanks, Kevin. Appreciate your thoughts, and we love having fans write into us, and love to have fans on the show, especially. And our 2013 schedule is filling up very quickly, but we're definitely keeping spots open for 2014 and into the new year. And we love hearing from you guys and hearing from new fans, especially fans who like to write reviews on iTunes. So that's definitely another way to get in touch with us too.
Nicely said. Yeah, and when you do put a review on iTunes for us, it gives us attention on iTunes. So when people do a search for Star Wars and podcasts, it'll be more likely for Coffee with Kenobi to show up. So the more reviews you do on iTunes for us, the better. And we get a lot of downloads every month, so that would really help us out so much. And yeah, I'm glad Corey brought that up, because we do want to have as many fans on as possible. And what helps us is when you're emailing us and saying you want to be on the show, tell us about a certain topic that you want to talk about, and maybe sort of give us very, very brief ideas of sort of your analysis and your bent, so we can see where you're coming from and figure out a way to incorporate that in the future shows.
And just real quick, Dan, if you've got something you do in fandom that you enjoy or that's unique, we'd love to hear that too, because we love to put those kind of things out there. I know we had an interview with the 501st. Mark, we had on a couple, or it was last episode, I think it was, from the 501st. And man, that was a great interview. We love talking to those guys, and definitely checking out what they have going on next.
Our next email is from Damian Waldron, and he writes, "Hey guys, great start to podcasting. I'm discovering you guys through the IndieCast, and thanks for putting me on to the guys of the Cantina Cast. I've been listening to the lads at Rebel Force Radio for years and really appreciate a different approach and view of the Star Wars universe. I've been thinking about the direction of Episode 7, and I'm firmly on the belief that George has left his clues in the final series, and specifically the final episodes of the Clone Wars. The main theme of Ahsoka's downfall was demonstrating that the general people of the Republic had turned against the Jedi. In addition, The prequels seem to indicate that the Jedi Order had become quite insular and removed from the real world. For a general person, they would not understand or even differentiate between Sith and Jedi. Therefore, the tyranny of the Empire would just be viewed as an extension of the Jedi's corruption and control. I think that the future of Star Wars is not like the EU portrays the Jedi, immediately reestablishing an order and being prime movers in the galaxy. Rather, I see them as on the margins in the galaxy, with the need to slowly rebuild trust and standing. What are your thoughts? Well, Damien, that's awesome. Talk about a guy who's trying to audition to be on the show. That was really good. I agree with you, and as far as if there are clues at the end of Ahsoka's downfall, I'm not sure. That would be pretty cool to see. And I agree with you. I can't see how it would be so cut and dry. There's only one Jedi back as Luke Skywalker. I'm sure when it permeates throughout the galaxy, what kind of impact he's had, he's going to do a lot to change minds. But this rebellion and the Empire thing was going on for a really long time, so it's going to take a while to undermine the tyranny. Surely people would by now have gotten the memo that the Empire is not a good thing. It's a dictatorship. It's a bad, bad situation. So I really think how the Jedi reestablished himself, and maybe by Episode 7 they already have, so just the idea of all these possibilities and really what some of these themes mean about, and we need to do a show on this in the future about people turning against the Jedi at the end of the Clone Wars, because there's some fascinating stuff there.
Definitely check out our Rebels reactions, and kind of that's going to be, I think, be a big definite play into what's kind of the next step or what's coming next within the next, you know, like it's a 14-year gap. But still, we'll still give the trickles of what happens after the downfall in a Clone Wars, and we get those new episodes coming out next year. That's, I think, it's wonderful. So definitely very good. Good stuff. And I love that he supports the IndieCast, the KanitaCast, Rebel Force Radio. All those guys are good guys. And thanks for letting us know what you think. Our next email comes from Craig Dickinson. He says, I really enjoyed the latest podcast. Just finished it today. Thank you so very much for reading my email and for all the kind words. I had no idea that Ed Dalsta was also an educator. Sounds like being in one of his classes would be very awesome. He seems like a great guy as well. I also wanted to let you know that I finished Kenobi and just picked up Darth Plagueis, which I haven't read before. Kenobi was amazing. I was a little hesitant to read it, as the expanding universe is not always what I hoped it to be. I thought his book hit all the right notes, and frankly felt like it belonged in the Star Wars canon. Impressive, most impressive. I tweeted John Jackson Miller to briefly let him know what I thought, and was elated to get a quick, gracious response from him. It seems I'm being continually reminded what a great community the Star Wars fans are. So great. Next up for me is The Star Wars Heresies by Paul F. McDonald. This looks like it'll be a great resource for me later in the year. While I'm waiting for the book to arrive, I've been checking out his blog for some time. Awesome stuff, and a great many insights I've never caught or thought of. That's all for now. Talk to you soon, Craig. Wow, Craig. Yeah, definitely check out Kenobi. We just released our roundtables as far as it was full of spoilers, so make sure you read the book first and check out that episode as we discuss with Trisha Barr and Amy Radcliffe our thoughts on that, and Darth Plagueis as well. Definitely, if you're a fan of any EUU book, go out and reach out to the authors, check them out, and they will definitely love to interact. I know John was a huge interaction online on Twitter, and definitely likes talking to fans and letting know what you think. So,
and even when we got him to come on the show, and that was really, really cool the way he responded, Ian Desher, and we've got some more authors. We've got at least three on the docket to come on our show within the next few months, so there's a lot of good stuff there. Again, as Craig said, and as we said in our discussion segment, Star Wars fandom and the community, they're really great about responding to each other. I want to also put a plug in for the Star Wars Heresies by Paul McDonald, which takes a look at the prequel trilogy from a mythological perspective. It's amazing. It's amazing, and it gives it the seriousness that a lot of fans really have, in my opinion, have needed to examine it with, because there's a lot of depth there. Now, I do want to plug also, Craig sent us another email with his thoughts on Darth Plagueis, and he loved that as well, and that's probably something we'll talk about in a future time. But speaking of Craig, he has sent us an MP3 of his thoughts on the Inquisitor. So take it away, Craig.
Hey guys, from my research on the Inquisitor, I found most of my information on Wikipedia, which is always a great site for Star Wars research. Anyway, I found that the Inquisitors are supposedly the highest level of dark side adepts, the ones that are still a step below full-on Sith, but still higher than Emperor's hands, like Mara Jade. There's been several examples of these in the Star Wars Expanded Universe, so I guess that would place it firmly in the C-level canon. But since we have an Inquisitor character in Star Wars Rebels that will be upgraded, it looks like, to at least T-level, possibly G-level canon, I guess. My biggest concern with this is that it kind of messes a little bit with Darth Bane's rule of two. I understand that they're not full-on Sith, but any extra dark side force users really kind of messes with the dynamic that you see in Empire and Jedi, where you have the Emperor and Vader playing off each other, talking about recruiting Luke, when you know that there's some subtext there where they're basically talking about replacing the other, and they're doing it in front of each other. On the plus side, though, it does kind of open up the doors for dark side users showing up in Episode 7 and still have the Sith being destroyed by Anakin being redeemed and killing Palpatine. So it seems like it's probably fairly intentional that they're seeding things for Episode 7, possibly bringing back the dark side users and still not having Sith, so you can kind of skirt that line. Well, that's all I got. Keep up the good work, guys. May the Force be with you.
Well, thanks, Craig. Thanks for your thoughts on the Inquisitor. Definitely some good things there, and we'll be looking forward to see what happens in Star Wars Rebels. And if anybody else is interested in sending us an MP3 email, definitely shoot it over to us at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. We'd love to check that out and get you on the show.
Our next email is from the blogger, the feature blogger of Coffee with Kenobi and good friend of our show, Melinda Wolf. And she writes, "Hi, Dan and Corey. I just finished listening to your first podcast about Rebels reactions with guest Trisha Barr. It was great. I truly enjoyed it, and I have to say, you had a great first guest. Trisha's enthusiasm is so contagious. It's fun listening to her talk with you both. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Rebels once its first season gets underway. When Clone Wars debuted, I was eager to watch it, even though I thought it would be geared towards children. It was, after all, on the Cartoon Network. However, it became quite clear quickly that adults would find enjoyment within that 30-minute episode as well. Even though Disney now has control of Star Wars, I think the company is well aware of the adult fan base, and it won't disappoint us. Take some of Disney's most popular and well-received animated films. Beauty and the Beast and Mulan are two of my faves. And when quality is affixed to an animated project, there's something both for youngsters and adults. With Dave Filoni at the helm of Rebels, I really don't think we have anything to worry about. All three of you touched upon the topic of expectations. I know it's part of human character to have expectations, but fans really need to remember that storylines might go in different directions, different from what they would like to see, or characters might be introduced that don't win any popularity contests, or too much information might be revealed about an incident or character about which we've only been given tidbits in the past. The long and short of it is this: there's no way to please all the people all the time, especially when you have a huge fan base that's as big as Star Wars. I'm excited that we'll get to see the conclusion of Clone Wars early in 2014, and that Rebels will come on the relative heels of Dave Filoni's first Star Wars animated series. We have a lot to look forward to, and we're all very lucky. Take care," and that's from Melinda, of course. Now, Melinda, we could have easily put this in our discussion segment, but we wanted to put it here because of the plug for Rebels reactions, which we really appreciate. But she's right. We all have our human expectations and characteristics. There are so many people. The surest way to make yourself miserable is to try to please everybody. And fortunately, Dave and everybody at Lucasfilm isn't trying to do that, but they are giving us more Star Wars and its quality stuff.
Exactly, Dan. And I think she just said right there, it's... don't judge a book by its cover, and be able to just have, like I said, to have patience with everything and enjoy it for what it is, and be excited for the fact that we're getting so much new stuff.
If you'd like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com. or CoreyC@coffeewithkenobi.com, or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the comments section. If you enjoy the show, please write a review on iTunes. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed at twitter.com/coffeewithkenobi. You can also listen to the show on stitcher.com. If you enjoyed the jazz music, download the album Eye to Eye by Steve Torok on iTunes.
Give the evacuation code signal.
That's it for show number 7 of Coffee with Kenobi. Thanks to everyone who contributed to this week's show, and to all of you who listened to our show. Don't forget to send us your comments and opinions on topic for show number 8, Return of the Jedi. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited and is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi, unless otherwise indicated.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.
The milkers. That's funny.
That's funny. Okay.